praise and honor to Him. Amen. And I believe that's true here. And it's going to be a great day, isn't it? It really is. Boy, the way things are shaping up in this world here. Good night. Hey, we might be leaving out tonight. Amen. You know, these elections, I love elections because I'm a fundamental Baptist. I like to argue, you know. I mean, it's just the way it is. So, and boy, there was a lot of room to argue in these elections there, and that was just so good, preacher. Thank you so much for bearing your soul to us. What a blessing it was. I'm so glad that I had the chance to hear that. And I do believe that probably it was the evangelical vote that really turned the tide. And because of that, it's put such a pressure on this upcoming administration that really it's all about marriage and morality and Israel. And we just see how it's all taking place. I mean, going back to George W. Bush, really America began to take an anti-Israel stance. And all of a sudden now, you know, with President-elect Trump, not a globalist, doesn't fit into that realm, and he is seems to be so pro-Israel, and it is a problem in this world, and it's because of that, because of Christians, amen. So we're going to be blamed for it no matter what, amen. So, amen. And just it seems like America has a bigger target on our back right now probably than ever before because of what's happening here. And what a day that's going to be, amen, when we get to see Jesus face to face, amen. And appreciate that good song. Thank you, preacher, for inviting me to come. I'm very honored to be here. Appreciate all these men taking time in your schedule to come out. Really, your presence does make a difference in these meetings. They really do. And appreciate it very, very much. Well, if you have your Bibles, look with me to the book of Concordance, please. That's a good sign when nobody turns. Amen. All right. Look with me to the book of Matthew in the 15th chapter, please. I appreciate Brother Brother Fry driving over from Frederick with me this morning. I made a mistake on my schedule, and I put two meetings on 1 week. That doesn't work too good when they're about 150 miles apart. Amen. And so Brother Ludwig allowed me to back his up till next week, and then to do Brother Fry's meeting, and then I knew I had this pastor's luncheon, and I just knew it was going to be some yo-yo driving there, amen. I didn't know I made the mistake till about Wednesday of last week, and boy, I started moving things around, and I sure didn't want to call Brother Vaughn and say, sorry, Charlie, I'm in Hawaii, you know. So anyway, Brother Fry drove in with me this morning, and appreciate him so very much. So Matthew chapter 15, all right, let's all stand together for the reading of God's Word. We're going to pick up this story in verse number 21. I promise you that cough is not a smoker's cough, okay? I gave it up in 2016, so we're not dealing with that anymore, all right? But Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 21. The Bible says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Isn't that an amazing story? Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, we come this morning so thankful and grateful in our hearts, Lord, to be saved. And Lord, thank you so much for putting your calling upon my life. There's nothing I'd rather do in all the world than what you've called me to do. Thank you, dear God, for these men, for their lives, for their dedication, for their ministries. Lord, they'll never even understand the impact that their churches and their voices, Lord, what a difference it's making in their community. Lord, we just pray that we'd get help from heaven today. And Lord, we're so thankful for the message we heard. Help us to meditate upon it throughout the day. And dear God, how wonderful to be connected to the true and living God. Lord, you're not relegated to term limits. Your kingdom is an eternal kingdom, an everlasting kingdom. Thank you, dear God, for grace, allowing us to be a part of it. Bless this time we have, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you so much for standing with me. You know, sick people, blind people, people maimed and crippled, never bothered Jesus. You know, sometimes they bother us. I remember the last 10 years that my dad lived upon this earth. He's with the Lord now. He was legally blind. And I remember watching people treat my dad differently when he became totally blind. But you know, those kind of people, sick, maimed, twisted, blind, deaf people, they never ever bothered Jesus. As a matter of fact, the New Testament is full of stories where Jesus healed the sick and he healed the maimed and he healed the lame. As a matter of fact, it was said about the Lord Jesus in Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The Bible says, for God was with him. You know, another one of my favorite stories talking about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is in John 21 and verse number 25. And, you know, I just believe every word of the Bible. Amen. I believe this word is inspired, inerrant, preserved. Amen. I even believe the cover. Mine says Holy Bible. Amen. I just believe it. And it says in John 21 verse 25, And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself, excuse me, could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. That's the kind of Savior I believe that Jesus was. Amen. When he walked the face of this world here. But when I come to this story here in Matthew chapter number 15, to be honest with you, I'm a little bothered by it. I mean, it bothers me a little bit because of what Jesus said to this woman who was just seeking help for her daughter. I mean, it bothers me. It seems to me that Jesus was rough and he was harsh to this woman here. We're going to pick up the story, this same story, but mentioned in the 7th chapter of the book of Mark from this point on. So if you have your Bibles, look with me over to the 7th chapter of the book of Mark, and we're going to pick up the same story, Mark's account, verse number 24. The Bible says here, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. So what we see here, the Lord was going to use this woman's persistence. He was going to use this woman's persistence to teach me a vital lesson. I mean, the harshness that she took from Jesus. It prompts my mind. It drives my attention to it. It makes me stop for just a minute and look at those words and think about it and picture in my mind. You see, Jesus is going to use this woman's persistence to teach me a lesson about prayer, because he knew that she could take it so I could learn something from it. Many years ago, I had the privilege to meet an old-time saint by the name of Dr. James Norwood. He's gone to heaven now, but Dr. Norwood was an assistant under Louis Ensminger. Many of you know that Dr. Louis Ensminger was Dr. J. Frank Norris's head Sunday school superintendent and helped him build the two great churches in Michigan and Fort Worth, Texas, pastoring those churches both at the same time. Two of the largest churches in America pastored them at the same time. He said that Dr. J. Frank Norris, at this time of the year, would get all of his Sunday school teachers together, and he would challenge them on what each Sunday school class could give for the year for missions. And he passed out those cards and passed out the pens and something to write on. He would challenge them. I want you to write down your name and the name of your class, and I want you to write down an offering on what you believe that you could raise for foreign missions this year through your Sunday school class. And then they all looked, grabbed their cards and pens, and they looked down and they wrote their names, the information on that card. And then he called out a particular lady from the crowd that was a Sunday school teacher. And he says, I want you to stand up and I want you to tell us who your class is and tell us how much money you wrote down. And of course, this dear lady stands up and she says the particular class that she is working on, and then she says something to the effect that I don't have the accurate number. She said, but I believe this year, I believe my class could raise, would just throw out a number, $150 for missions. And then Dr. J. Frank Norris said, now look, we're going to give you at least, you're going to have at least 50 weeks to work on this. Surely you, amongst those girls, could raise more than $150. I think you need to rethink that. I think you need to look at that, think about it, spend a moment in prayer, and see if you really think that that's all the amount of money you think you could raise. Remember, this money is not staying at home. This money is to go for foreign missions. Now you think about it. And I want you to write something down. And of course, she took a moment and scratched that number out and wrote a brand new number on there. And he said, now, what do you think you can give, you can raise for your class for foreign missions this year? And then she raised it, you know, maybe to $200. But she wasn't the only one that scratched out a number. There are a whole lot of other Sunday school teachers that day were like, scratching that out and putting another number on there, because old Dr. J. Frank Norris knew that that woman could take it so that everybody else could learn from it. And I believe when we come to this story here in these chapters of the New Testament, the Lord is, he knew that this woman could take it so we could learn a lesson from it. Look at verse number 24. The Bible says, from Gennesaret to the borders of Tyre and Sidon. And then notice that very interesting phrase, and he entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. And you know, listen, if Jesus abides in your tabernacle, it's just one of those things. It's just not going to be hid. Amen. I remember a young man that went to Bible college and got discouraged and backslidden and came back home and got out of church and just began to live a very worldly, carnal life. His pastor told me this story. And felt like God had left him, and man, he was lonely by himself, didn't even have a girlfriend, so he went to a clothing store and got a bunch of fancy, you know, dapper clothes, and Boy, he was just going to put on the show, and he had driven by a particular establishment where sin abounds, and he was going to walk in there with these fancy clothes and going to sit at that bar, and boy, he was going to order him a drink, and he's going to try to pick him up a girl. So he got all of that, and he walked in there trying to act cool and worldly, and sure enough, he goes up to that bar there, and not too long a woman comes by, and he begins to make some small talk, and all of a sudden they just strike up a conversation, and then in the course of the conversation she says, you know, for some reason, you just don't look like you belong here. You know, if Jesus abides in the tabernacle, it can't be hid. Amen. Look at verse number 25. So we find here that this Gentile, this Syrophoenician woman with this demon-possessed daughter, and she heard about Jesus. And all of a sudden the opportunity had presented itself, and she fell at Jesus' feet. The Bible says she besought him, she asked him, and she said, Lord, my daughter is grievously vexed. Notice she was very specific in her prayer. You see, prayer is asking. And no doubt she believed that Jesus could heal her. She had heard the stories of all that Jesus could do. And she said, this is what I need you to do. My daughter, she is vexed with the devil. I need help. And she asked for help. And the Bible says in verse 27, and Jesus said, let the Jewish people first be filled. Jesus says, for it is not meet, it's not proper, it's not fair to take the children's bread and cast it under the dogs. I mean, you could literally say that she was asking for a miracle. She was asking Jesus for compassion. She was asking for an answer to her prayer. She says, my daughter, she's vexed with the devil, and I know that you can help her, and I need you to help her. And then Jesus says, you're not good enough. Well, it would be like taking bread from the children and casting it to the dogs, you know, the puppy dogs. Jesus literally called her a dog. Jesus said, what you're asking me to do belongs to the chosen people, belongs to the Jews. Remember, Jesus knew that she could take it, so we could learn a lesson from it. And then in response, she says, yes, Lord. She said, you're right, I am a Gentile. You're right, my daughter is a Gentile. And my daughter's possessed with demons, and we're considered to be dogs by your people. Yes, Lord. But she responds with, but yet. Yes, Lord, yet. This is persistence. This is a beautiful example of importunate praying. I mean, when you come to this woman's response to Jesus, yes, Lord, yes, the dogs eat the crumbs, you know, like a little house dogs. They eat the crumbs that fall from the table when the children are dining at the table there. You see, this is what we call removing the hindrances and the excuses. This woman is supplying the Lord Jesus better reasons for answering her prayer than getting offended. She was willing to endure insults. She was willing to endure name calling, but it really didn't matter because she was convinced that Jesus could help her daughter. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's bread. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way. the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. She could take it, so we could learn a lesson. And I believe what we find in this passage here, one of the lessons here is that half-hearted praying doesn't really do much. Half-hearted praying, it just doesn't do a whole lot. You see, there was no lukewarm praying going on with this woman. I guarantee you there was no yawning, there was no mind wandering, it was just urgency. There was no cliches, there was no clock watching. Brother, you're talking about a woman that's pouring out her soul to the Lord God. I'm telling you, listen, we're not talking about somebody that's just going through emotions. There's urgency. My daughter needs help. You're the only one that can help her. And I know you can. I don't care what you say about me. I don't care what you call me. I know that you can help my daughter. Please help her. Yet the dogs. You see, importunity is the opposite to lukewarmness. And lukewarmness in prayer is, as in everything else, is nauseating to God and will always come away empty. Ask yourself, could this woman do without what she was asking the Lord? No way possible. So we have to ask ourselves, when we talk about revival, when we talk about prayer, we have to ask ourselves, can I do without the very thing for which I am asking for? Or is it something that I must have at all cost? Am I willing to go without food? Am I willing to go without sleep? Am I willing to deny certain activity? Can I do without it what I'm asking God to do? You see, this Syrophoenician woman, listen, did her prayer lack urgency? No, it didn't. I mean, listen, there was emotion involved in this scene. And listen, we can just, as we picture this whole, there's emotion, there's everything going on in this passage. I like to compare this story here to the lukewarm church in Revelation chapter 3. Let's just turn over to that and just try to compare these two accounts here. Revelation chapter number 3, and we're going to pick it up in verse number 14. Are you with me this morning? How about a good hearty amen? It says, and unto the church of the and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things. And by the way, isn't it amazing that when the apostle lays out these churches, he talks about the church of Ephesus, like it had became the church of Ephesus, and then it talks about the church in all the rest of those cities. When it comes to Laodicea, it says in the church of the Laodiceans, because it didn't even appear that this church even belonged to the Lord. He says in verse number 14, and unto the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You know, a thought that has crossed my mind with this Trump presidency here, I remember Trump saying, we're all going to be rich. You remember him saying that? We're all going to be rich. Boy, just makes me run to this reference right here in Revelation chapter 3, talking about the Laodicean church. You see, the truth is, when we come to this passage here in Mark chapter 7 and Matthew chapter 15, this woman, it appears that she couldn't do without what she was asking Jesus to perform. I want to give you five simple statements and I'm going to be done. Number one, here it is. When we pray without greatly caring about the issue, there will never be a comeback like this woman said, yet the dogs. When we pray without greatly caring about the issue, there will never be that comeback. Lord, yet the dogs will just be satisfied with a no. The answer no to our prayer. I want you to look, number two, we may be praying for selfish reasons. And the very discipline of delay is necessary to purge us of this and to give us the urgency to pray. Like he says, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I want you to see number three, we may be unconsciously be unwilling to pay the price involved in the answering of our prayer. And our Heavenly Father, He desires us to learn that discipline of prayer. I want you to see number four, we may be misinterpreting what God is doing in our lives in the answer to our prayer. Oh, I just was talking to the church over at Ambassador last night, over in Frederick last night. You know, there have been so many times that I have gone to prayer, and I just am just so passionate about these things that I'm praying for, and I know that I must sound like the Lord, because I don't know what's going to happen 6 months. I don't know what's going to happen 12 months. I'm just looking at my present needs of maybe my family or my friends or situations that we're dealing with, and you just lift your heart up and you're asking for, and so much of the time it probably just sounds like babbling. And thank God we have a Savior, amen, our advocate, amen. He is making intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. I mean, there are times we just go to the Lord and all we know how to say is just, oh God, oh God. I was telling the church last night, my dad was a contractor just about all of his life, and the last big addition that he did was on house that he bought for my mother. Put in a huge addition on that house. The addition was literally bigger than the house that they bought, and it turned out so very nice. And I was in town. We were going to set some trusses on the addition there. My brother Daniel was coming over to help us. He had two children. His daughter, my niece, she was probably about 18 months old, maybe 2 years old. Her name was Isabel, my nephew, probably about 5 years old then, maybe 6 years old. His name is Little Daniel. And my brother Daniel had to maybe go to Home Depot or Lowe's or somewhere to get some supplies. And we were watching the two little ones there, and we were getting things ready to set those trusses. And I remember my little niece looked at me and my dad and the other ones that were there getting ready to set these trusses, and she just kind of blurted out a blabber. Blah, 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 blah. We didn't know what she was saying. But my little nephew said, she says she wants a drink of water. Like, what? You know, we got her a drink of water, and I mean, like she was about to die of thirst. And then about 5 or 10 minutes later, blah, 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 blah. He says, she says she wants something to eat. You gave her a cookie, and I mean, she just gobbled it up. About 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, blah, 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 blah. He says, she says she has to go to the bathroom. Grandma, we're here to take care of this one. And I'm sure that there are many times I go to God in prayer, and that's probably what it sounds like. Blah, 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 blah. And the Lord says, now, Father, he's asking for this, but this is what he really means. This is what he means. He just doesn't know what's going to happen next month. He doesn't know what's around the corner. Now, he's saying that he wants this, but he really doesn't want that. This is what he wants. Amen, with groanings which cannot be uttered. Boy, I'm so glad about that. Amen. Oh, listen, we may be misinterpreting what God is doing in our lives in the waiting, the answer to our prayers. And then lastly, you know, a lot of time we may be denied or delayed the answer to our prayers to secure our humble dependence on God. You know, I'll turn 56 years old next week. I have four children, two married. My youngest son's finishing up his sophomore year at Commonwealth Baptist College in Lexington. And so we know a little bit about raising a family and dealing with issues like that. And man, I have been involved in evangelism. Goodness gracious, I started traveling with Dr. Joe Boyd, my mentor, when I was 14 years old. I've been involved in this kind of work for a long time. Been in full-time evangelism going on 35 years now. Boy, the Lord has just kept us busy across the nation and across the world. Seen a lot of people saved. And I have sat on front pews like this, like in this church here, and I've talked to backsliders, I've talked to men, I've talked to teenagers, and I've tried to lay it out so simple to them, so logical. This is what you're doing. And it's just like, so can't you see? You're making the wrong decision. You're going the wrong way. Cannot, and you can just lay it out so logically, those scriptures out, pulling out those principles. Don't you see this? And I mean, it's just like they are blind. I mean, you just want to grab them and just shake them, amen? I mean, or you know, sometimes even worse than that, the Bible does say it's more blessed to give than receive, amen? And boy, you'd like to give it to them every now and then. Wake up! And man, you just seem like you can deal with these things so logically and so biblically and just lay it out. Listen, this is happening. This is what you're doing. This is what's going to happen. Listen, this is going to be the outcome. But they just, and man, sometimes we just have to say, dear God, I cannot do it. Logic, a Bible lesson, exposition on Proverbs 3 or whatever it is, it just doesn't seem like it rings the bell, that it just brings light. And I just believe many times we are denied or delayed the answer to our prayers to secure our humble dependence upon God. I was born and raised in the suburbs of Dallas, Texas. I went to a high school in Garland, Texas, well-known school and church. One of my dearest friends growing up was a pastor's son. And we played on the same football team together. He was a pulling guard. I was a running back. You want to make sure and be kind to your pulling guards. Amen. They'll keep them linebackers off of you. Amen. When, you know, back in those years. And we became very good friends. But during that high school year, he became very rebellious. There was a group of kids in that church there that just, man, they just turned their back on God. And I mean, it was bad. And it was probably a little bit later on in the year, but it was about the time when they were going to start all of that that summer break stuff. And, you know, we have the coast down Galveston and Padre Island, and a lot of times the world will just head to those places there and indulge in all that wickedness. And some of the young people that was involved in that church there had influenced my friend, and they were going to go to that South Padre Island, and they were going to party during spring break. He's a pastor's son. And I remember he told me this story after it all happened. He said, my dad said to me, you're not going. He said, Dad, I am going. He said, son, I'm telling you, son, you are not going to go with those friends of yours down to South Padre Island and act like a heathen. He said, Dad, I am going, and you or nobody else can stop me. He said, Dad, you're not going to, his dad said, son, you're not going to go. He said, Dad, I am going. I'm going, and we're going to be leaving in the morning, and you can't do anything about it. And he went to bed that night, had all of his stuff packed up, and he was going to meet his friends early the next morning. They were going to throw their bags in the car, and they were going to party like a bunch of heathens in Padre Island. He said he woke up that next morning, and he said to me, he said, Oliver, I can't explain it to you. He said, but all desire to go was gone. He said it was gone. He said, it was just like I had no desire. He said, I picked up the phone, I called my friends, and I said, guys, I don't feel like going anymore. It wasn't my dad threatening me or making me. I'm telling you, I just don't want to go. So I ain't going. And when he dropped out, the whole trip canceled out. And then he told me, he said, after that, they began to mill around in the house. And he noticed that there was an open Bible in his bedroom. And then he said, and I went into the living room and I saw an open Bible in my living room. I went into the kitchen and he said, I saw an open Bible in the kitchen. He said, I peeked over in my brother's room and my two sisters' room and I noticed that there was Bibles open in there. And he said, and I knew what my dad would did all night long. He said, I knew that my dad had his Bibles and he was claiming scripture in all of our bedrooms and every single room in that house. There was a Bible, and I knew all that night my dad had lifted up his voice to God and said, Dear God, you got to do something about my boy. And I believe sometimes we just have to deal with delay so we know that God is the one that does it. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. You talk about persistence, that's persistence. God knew that she could take it. I read that story and it bothers my mind. I don't like people to be treated that way. I don't like that. And God knew she could take it to teach me a lesson. Listen, this woman said, I don't care what you say about me. I don't care what you call me. I know who you are. I know what you can do. And you can't offend me. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs. I'm not asking for a loaf. I'm not asking for a slice. She said, all I'm asking for are the crumbs. And buddy, she got them, didn't she? Man, we just can't ever give up. And we have got to believe that God can do what we're asking Him to do, and we have to get to the point where we cannot live without it. May the Lord God help us. Let's bow for prayer, shall we? Father, we come today so thankful and grateful for your love and grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for this book you've given us that's full of promises. We're so encouraged. Lord, we believe you are who you tell us you are. We know that you hear our prayers. So many times we get discouraged because we don't hear from you, Lord, in a timely manner. But Lord, we know in all of it, you're doing things in us and around us and all over this world that are incredible. Lord, help us to take the example of this dear, precious lady who had such a burden for her daughter and emulate it. Bless these men. Bless their families. Bless their ministries. Supply all their needs, dear God, we pray. And Lord, please help us to be about your business of telling the lost the good news. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.